Hello, down East Maine. Oh, there you are. There you are. Welcome to our Juneteenth commemoration. My name is Jacques Newell Taylor, and I have the pleasure and the honor of being your host today. This is the day that we reflect on and celebrate the liberation of the last of our families from the American institution of slavery in 1865.
This was in 1862. Now, it took another 2.5 years for the Union Army to get the word out across the country. And it wasn't until December 31st in 1864 that our forefathers and foremothers were able to have this celebration, knowing that in 1865, the stroke of midnight, they too We celebrate with our food, our music, our art, our voices, our oration, our poetry, our dance. And if you look around, there's great food. If you look around, there are wonderful activities for kids and adults alike to take part in. We've got wonderful music. And our purpose today is to take care of each other. Take care of ourselves so we can take care of each other. But here's an interesting thing. And I'm going to break my little talk here just for a moment. Because I want you to know that word for word, I read the same thing last year or the year before, and it had the same urgency, and it has the same urgency now. But I want you to hear this part. This is really important. We're living in a time of erupting, opposing energies. We all feel that now, don't we? In a way that we haven't felt it before, perhaps. But I want you to know, it's been here year after year. But for some reason, we're acutely aware of it now. And it can feel daunting and stifling. And in the words of the great author, producer, and historian Nicole Hannah Jones, she says, quote, "Our democracy's founding ideals were false when they were written." I'm going to read that again. "Our democracy's founding ideals were false when they were written. Black Americans have fought to make them true." End quote. We all know this to be true. We all know this to be true. From historical experiences of, wait, there's this declaration of independence, we have to have that. We had this document that said that all men were created equal, but clearly they weren't talking about all men, right? Let alone women, right? So we had to come up with these amendments, right? And why were these things happening? Specifically to address, what do we do with these freed slaves? These freed people. So, we have some work to do. But today, we want to celebrate and commemorate with renewed optimism, renewed determination, and an inclusiveness of our vision for the future. So, people might be familiar with spiritual things. They like to say, let's get full. Let's get full. So you won't be able to sit in those seats too much longer because we're going to get full, which means listening to music, which means dancing, which means having great food. Not going to be much happening up here. There's going to be a few interstitial things. Oh, and you need to know this. If you want to hear the recording of these events, WERU is going to have it archived, right? So you can go and listen to it whenever you want. And I want to ask you to do one other thing. If you can think of someone who really should be here with you, I want you to take a moment. Give them a call. Tell them it's fine. We got some stuff going on over here. Okay? All right, DJ Timeless. Let's do some dancing for a little while. Well, actually, get out. Excuse me. I think I took a little bit longer than I thought I would, so we're going to move on with a very special event right now. And if you've been here before, you know what you may be about to experience is special. Chief Inza, Oscar Mokeme, is a mystic, a performance artist, was born in Nigeria, grew up between Nigeria and the UK. He was raised in the Anglican Church traditions, founder and executive director of the Museum of African Art and Culture in Portland, and I want to encourage you to take a look at the art that he has displayed. There's a tent that's back there, you got to check that out, it's some powerful stuff. He has conducted extensive research in African medical and spiritual healing systems and Christian mysticism. He's an author, storyteller, and education institutions in Europe, as well as Asia, Africa, and in the U.S. He is well-traveled and has a global knowledge of business, cultures, and spirituality and political systems. He enjoys worship music and devotional music services that bring glory to the name of God and loves serving God through his mystic healing and other prophetic arenas. I present to you Chief Vincent. Speak after Chief Lindsay's blessing. But I wanted to share a few other offerings that are happening here in the spirit of taking care of ourselves and taking care of each other. Beyond this amphitheater part, up on that kind of plateau back there, there's a whole wellness area that you all need to know about. Because up there, there's a schedule that I'm going to tell you about. There are some wellness offerings. There's Tai Chi, and yoga being offered up there. And the classes start, one starts at 5:30, there's a yoga class at 5:15, and there are also chair massages that you can just drop in. Oh, I see a rich scrambling. Okay, wait. But if you go up on that plateau up there, you will be able to experience that version of taking care of yourself in a very physical way. There's something else I want to share with you, an opportunity, and it makes me just want to think deeply about something. But there's an event that's going to be taking place June 21st and 22nd. It's called The Walk to Honor Wabanaki Veterans. The Walk to Honor Wabanaki Veterans. And June 21st, 2025 marks the 250th anniversary of Chief Joseph Warno's speech, Align the Wabanaki Nations with the Americans in the Revolutionary War. Does anybody else shudder at the whatever that is? No. Think about this. This chief aligned himself with the American soldiers in the Revolutionary War. How often have people of color aligned themselves with this dominant culture in the hopes that there's going to be some recognition of equality? And just leave me alone, only to walk away with nothing. Less than nothing. So, again, there's something that has been urgent for us for a long time that I'm feeling that a lot of people are starting to experience now, given what's happened with our current administration. But there is this event that is on Friday, June the 20th, June 21st. One is an opening ceremony that is taking place at the Orono High School Performing Arts Center. And the second, you can register at the Orono High School. And then the walk, I think, will proceed from there. So those are things that you have to show up in person. I don't think there's any kind of virtual way to participate or to even register at this point. I wanted to let you know about that. Well, I see some folks are still sitting in these chairs. I think does that mean that we have to do some sort of special DJ pump up the volume, make everybody shake and move kind of a thing? Because, yeah. So you might have to flow and bring that down more to the center and see what you to take some time to go past some of these tents. Oh, I got to tell you this too. So one of the things that I think is so interesting about black folks, about BIPOC folks, about people of color, is that oftentimes we have this knack for coming into a situation and kind of going, huh, that's interesting. Why'd you do it that way? Okay, what if we do this? All right, what do you think of that? And it's really good. And guess what? We've got the state champion whoopie pie maker right over there. I am not kidding you. You got to go and check. Don't check it out. Go eat it up. I don't know if there's any left, but I go check that out right now. So, without any further ado, we're going to have a little bit more music, have a little bit more food, and then we'll have truly, truly a treat coming up. You're going to hear from JG. Okay? But in the meantime, you've got just a few minutes just to relax, hang out, get some energy. All right. Thanks. Take it away, DJ Thomas. Not yet, Rosie.
Hey! I hope, please, please tell me y'all are having a good time. Say what? I'm sorry, I'm getting old. I can't hear. Thank you. Thank you. So, welcome again. My name is JG. I'm one of the organizers for Juneteenth on East. And I want to say a couple of things. Don't want to bore you. But some of the things are important, I think, to say. And, all right. I'm going to say it quick. So, my mom just died. And I only say that because our culture, we don't talk about birth or death. Have you noticed the two major events in everybody's life, and we don't talk about them? Like women, you don't know about what it's about giving birth until you get pregnant. And everybody comes at you with all kinds of advice. And until that point, you're like, well, I do that. All I know is it's supposed to hurt. And so, at any rate, that's why I'm bringing up my mom. Because I learned something important, and I want to share it. Because I have a platform here. And what I learned was that people kept telling me, forgive and forget. I was giving my mom hospice at home. And everyone was like, you know, everything has happened between you and your mom. Forgive and forget. And I tried. I'm here to tell you. I worked on it. Every week I worked on it. And I was able to forgive. But I couldn't forget. I tried. I'm telling you. I could not forget. And it kind of pissed me off at a point. Because everyone was like, forgive and I forget. I'm like, yeah, right. No, it doesn't work like that. And then my mother died. And I say died instead of passed because all those euphemisms kind of drive me nuts. I think it's another way for us not to talk about it. She died, and what it taught me was that it's not forgive and forget. I want you to hear me. It is not forgive and forget. It is forgive and remember. Because, and this is from an old lady at this point, right? Like, I've been through it. I've been the kid, I've been the mom. And what it is, I think, is that when our kids grow up and get out of the nest, in a way, I think some of them have to stop liking us so they can leave. You know, we fall off the pedestal, right? And the kids go on and they build their lives and do what we prayed and worked and struggled to have them do, which is go on and be their best selves. But the moms and the dads, we still live in that time when y'all were little. We never forgot that. We didn't break up with that. You broke up with us. We never broke up with you. And when she was mommy, not mom, not mother, mommy. I remember holding on to her leg as a safe spot. You know, when your little one is down here, I remember what that felt like. And so I just want to share with you that it isn't forgive and forget, it's forgive and remember, because it really is about all that love, that unconditional love that your parents have for you, hopefully, I know not all did, and that you had for them at that time in life. Thank you for putting up with that. I had to share. The other thing I want to share is I came to Maine sailing and looking for community because, you know, not enough black folks in Maine. And if I was going to be in Maine, I needed to see me. I need that for my happiness, for my comfort. And so I started looking. And Juneteenth Down East said to me, "You want to help us bring that community together?" I was like, "Oh, yeah." And today I realized that as I try to build communities aren't here. You know what I'm saying? The people who are working today, who are volunteering today, who have come every week almost on Thursdays for these ongoing Zoom meetings, the people who are performing, the people who are vending, the community is already here. And to those of you who are joining our community today, welcome. We need you. We appreciate you. And to the people of the BIPOC community that's here today, please note that we are not alone, that we are not the only one in the room. And then to make this, I know I'm going over, so I'll try to make this quick. The other thing I want to do, we're going to do a little Know Your Rights role play. So the good thing is, in this country, you already know your rights. If you watch TV or movies in this country, you know what your rights are. Because they tell you, you've listened to it on the television so many times. I'm going to start it and you can finish it. You have the right. And then they tell you why. You have the right to remain silent because anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. What's the next part? You have the right to a lawyer. And at that point, we kind of have to stop. Because you actually, if you are not a citizen, you have a right to a lawyer, but you have a right to talk to a lawyer, but you don't necessarily have a right to get one. You know what I mean? us know. Please talk to us. Let us know if there's something you would like to see, to do. We're going to keep doing events. We're going to have Weekend on the Water. And I think we're going to start having in-person events like fishing for a BIPOC community and all sorts of good stuff. So stay in touch. Thank you again, and see you later.
Good evening. My name's Deb Parker. I live in Bangor. And our family moved to Maine in 2016, just prior to the first of the Trump administration. And it was a very, very hard transition in New York. There were times that I would cry. Now, I was raised in the United Kingdom, and so I knew what it was like to live in a very white community, but I had not experienced racism to the point that I experienced it here. And then I came to this Juneteenth event, I think in 2019, and I asked if I could help. And I am so very grateful to Juneteenth Bounties for allowing me to help organize this event and the Weekend on the Water. These are scary times for people that look like me and for people that look like my daughter who is trans. And it is a time for us to stick together to help each other, to hold each other up. And I really, really didn't want to speak very long, so I'm not going to. But I did want to share a funny story when I first moved here. I love covered bridges, and I'm a photographer. So I saw this covered bridge, and I decide I'm going to take some photos of it. So I ride over the bridge. When I get over the bridge, there's these two young white men with their snowmobiles, and they're staring at me like, "What on earth are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I just want to take a picture." And the guy goes, "You do know that this bridge is for snowmobiles, right?" And I'm like, "Oh." So I take the picture, and then I turn my car around to drive back over it. And when I look in the rearview mirror, they have their camera, their phone's out taking a picture, and they're laughing so loud. So I've learned the very big lesson to walk up and approach these cover bridges and not take my car over it. What I have noticed with this second administration is that Mainers have gone out of their way to be friendly, to smile, to let me know to not to be afraid, and I appreciate that. So I'm going to close, and what I'm closing with is something that I saw at one of the demonstrations recently. BRB, be right back. Gotta go change what I cannot accept. Please continue to change what you cannot accept. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb. And y'all might not know, but Deb is a tenacious communicator and connector of things. If Deb knows that something has to happen and get done, she makes it happen. And we appreciate her for that. The next person I'd like to introduce is Athena Bryce. Now, Athena is a powerhouse. And I have a bio that I will read. I just gotta say, she's powerhouse. Athena excels in social work and is dedicated to amplifying the voices of under-recognized communities in Maine to advocate for system reforms and justice. Athena is a first-generation Jamaican-American, a mother of two, and calls Maine home. In her free time, she enjoys going to brunch and sending funny social media posts to her family and friends, and she is the current president of the Bangor area NAACP. Athena Bryce.
Hey,
song that we wanted to sing is an ancestor song. And this song will bring in your ancestors, my ancestors, into this place.
Thank you.
have to say that Gwen Baer from Negotico, up in Tobik, she translated this song so we could sing it. And I had to say that because when we were somewhere else, there were people from tribal people from Ohio, and they were like, "We sing that song too, but in our language." So I thought that was so cool. So I'm hoping everyone can hear us back there. Yes, thumbs up. Woo-hoo. All right. The humidity is taking a toll on the drums. Except for the remotes. Song and we
Everyone wanted to dance out there. Ooh, I see feet going. Yes. Oh, you wanted to dance? We should have had you guide everybody. We'll think of one. So we're going to sing The Longest Walk, because it took quite a while for us to get here, right? So, but we sing this song a lot of times, like during COVID, we would go around in the community, our community, and sing our songs for healing, and because we couldn't get together, but of course we stood quite a ways apart from each other, but the people needed to hear our songs, and it helped them so much, just being outside. And then when people are
she also has been guiding for how many, 35 years, the youth drum group at the reservation at Pleasant Point. They are called the Little Eagle Drum Group, so yes. Let's give her a big hand. And this shy young lady standing here, she's my granddaughter. Her name is Amy Mae. She's one of my lead singers for the And if you feel like dancing, please dance. So I see some movement over there. Well, not that one exiting stage left. But anyway, I see dancing going on. So I love that. That dance is an expression of that inner spirit and just being happy and in the moment. And I love that. Thank you up there.
going to be the Veterans Honor Song. So if you can stand for this song, that would be lovely. And take your hat off, unless you have an eagle feather in your hat. That would be so wonderful. And this will be our last song, too. And no videoing of this song, I'm so sorry. It's an honor being with you all here today, and thank you for the invitation on this beautiful day of celebration. And tomorrow, if you didn't know, is our Native American Veterans Day. So, yes, so that's leading us into tomorrow. So, two celebrations back to back. I love it. Chulo MC Dewen, and I got to teach you one word. Gazelmo. Let me hear it louder. Gazelmo. That means I love you. Up to Jimmy Alpha. We'll see you again till next time.
Gazamo. To take a little bit of time to thank you all for coming, and also to acknowledge, make sure that we acknowledge every single one of the amazing vendors who are here, people who are providing different services, for making the time to come out and set up a tent, bring some cool information. I have a list of organizations and people to thank, and all these people have been listed on the Juneteenth website. But everyone, we really are very grateful for the time and the resources that you have shared so that you can be here to help celebrate and commemorate this day with us. Now, we all hope that we're making progress, and that we are starting to do what is difficult, and that is to talk about some of these uncomfortable subjects. story I want to share with you. One of the things I love doing is mountaineering, climbing mountains and stuff, which is really interesting because I have a serious fear of heights. But when you're mountaineering, there's something about, you know, if you get into the side of a dicey area, you can rope in or attach and I feel secure. And I don't know why that was something that seemed very achievable to me, but it was. And then I started visiting Alex, my wife here in Maine. And one of the things that, you know, you'd see is people out on their sailing all the time. And she told me about how she took sailing lessons as a kid and this and that. It seemed like a really peaceful, calm, cool thing to do. But never in my wildest dreams would I imagine that I'd be on a sailing boat, even a passenger on one, let alone sailing. It just didn't seem, it just didn't, wasn't part of my, I don't know, my vision. And then I heard about this woman. And she had a boat, a sailing boat. And I went to the edge of the water and I saw this tall, which is that? Oh, there she is. I saw JG on her sailboat. And that was enough to make me think, you know what? I can absolutely do this too. Not as in, you know, if she can do it, I can do it, but just really seeing a person of color on the water in that boat. That was very special. And that was one of my first encounters with JG. But JG has come to be really important to our community. She has helped to facilitate each one of these Juneteenth commemorations. She has been the visionary that has helped to facilitate this thing that we call Weekend on the Water, where we are encouraging BIPOC people to come out and be on the water, to learn how to swim, to learn how to sail, to learn how to fish, to camp, to be together, to commune with nature. So, we wanted to take some time to acknowledge JG for how special, wonderful she has been to our community. So, would you join me in a massive round of applause for JG? She don't like that, but it has to be done. And
Thank you, Jacques. You know, it's funny, he's saying that I encouraged him because I was on the boat, but he encouraged me by it mattered to him. And it didn't occur to me that it would matter to him. And so I was surprised and honored by that attention. So what I want to do right now is, in honor of my mom, yeah, I know you thought I was going to let that go, but you got to understand, my mom was a community organizer, she was a rabble-rouser, my first time on a picket line, I think I was dizzy. So I see her looking at us and knowing that our being together is what's important. Community is what's important. And y'all better come to Weekend on the Water. And I don't mean to be like, you've got to come. But I do mean that. It's just so amazing. I want all over this land. Ooh, I love that. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning. I'd ring it in the evening, all over this land. I'd ring it at danger. I'd ring it at a warning. I'd ring it at love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Ooh. If I had a song,